And I'm excited because for Let's Get Real, we wanted to finish with a Q&A panel. Who was here for our Q&A panel last year around the similar time? All four of you on stage should have your hands up. Because we had a great time and people were able to submit questions and it went really well. So we're excited to do it again. We've got the panel back. People have submitted questions and we're really thankful for that. And we're going to go through them today. And so this is going to be really organic. It's going to be casual. And we're just going to share as many questions as we can. We won't be able to get through them all. But thank you, everyone, for submitting questions. And we're excited. The concept today is getting real. It's asking questions that you might not ask usually in church. And it's saying, hey, these are real things that our community are walking through. I said earlier in the month that one of the biggest traps of the enemy is he makes you feel like when you come to church, you have to sort of put on a fake persona because you're like, I have to be perfect here. And then you think everyone else around you is perfect and you're the only one who might be walking through things. That's an absolute lie. Every one of us is walking through things. There's no shame in walking through things because we've got a God that dealt with that shame. We've got a God that we can bring every confusion, every question to, and he can bring healing and wholeness and the right answers. So we're really excited to just say, hey, let's get real today and let's get through this as a family. So we want to introduce the panel today. Let's start right on the end. We've got Pastor Christine, welcome, who's also my mom. And how about, I haven't given you time to prepare this, but we need a fun question to begin with. Let's get real. What was the best food you've ever eaten at any point in your life? And I'm going to ask each of you when I introduce you, have a think, or one of the best foods. If it's not somebody, if you're married and it's not your spouse's cooking, that's okay. They'll be all right.
That's not okay.
Awesome. Pastor Christine, what's the best food you've ever eaten?
Probably Mexican, and I ate it at a restaurant in Texas. Brooke, do you remember the name of it? The one we went to with Terry. El Phoenix, is it?
Amazing.
Teresa's online. She may be able to correct me. But I think it was something like that. It was a Mexican restaurant in Texas, and I've never eaten Mexican like it, and I love Mexican food. So
amazing! I love that.
That's so, so good. So my slow cooked barbecue.
It was almost, second. It almost made it. Pastor Peter. So Pastor Peter and Christine, and Pastor Christine are the senior pastors of Breakthrough. So we love having them, and we're blessed with the best pastors in the world. They're also my amen. They're also my parents, so I'm not biased. Pastor Peter, what is your best food you've eaten?
It's every meal that Christine cooks.
Aww.
But second, I remember as a teenager, I was about 17, 18, I think, with my parents and stayed with a friend of theirs in Philadelphia. And he took us one night, my dad and I, down to some food trucks in the middle of Philadelphia and bought me a Philly cheesesteak.
Wow.
And from, you know, like the place where it originated, and they were foot long, and I ate one, and he said, I bet you couldn't eat another. I said, I bet I could. I've never remember eating anything that's melted in my mouth, such flavour. And then I raved about it for many years, and many years later, we're going over to America. We stopped in Hawaii for a night, breaking up the trip, and there in a store, they had a Philly cheesesteak, and I said, let's get one. I'll show you what I've been missing all these years. It was the worst microwaved little bit of rubbish. But I made the mistake of just because you call something something doesn't mean that's what it is. It's like, just because you said a meat pie can be very different depending on where you get it. So I gave them a 7-Eleven heated up meat pie and said, this is the best food ever.
Hey, don't knock the 7-Eleven meat pies.
It was terrible.
That's amazing. All right, got Mark here. Mark is part of our pastoral team, also with Kirsty. His wife Kirsty leads. They lead Jesus Seekers. They're part of our events team. They lead a life group together. Kirsty helps leads our Eden coffee team and lots of other things I'm sure I'm not even mentioning now. Wonderful, wonderful blessing to our community. Mark, what is the best food you've had?
Is this on?
Yeah.
I remember when I was about five, we had a mango tree in our next door neighbour's yard. We lived in Queensland, Bundaberg, and we picked a mango. And I remember biting into this mango and I thought, oh, what heavenly fruit is this? Love mango.
Oh, I love that. What a great answer. Does everyone know, do we have to bring mangoes and see if it's ever going to live up to that experience?
Fiji was pretty good too.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Amazing mangoes over there.
Amazing. And Kirsty, what was your favourite food?
I was going to say Mark's cheesecake. Oh. He makes me every year for my birthday.
Yeah, that's very good.
But also, we went on a mission trip to Fiji and I think we went to a little island, and in the middle of nowhere there was this like a little hut shack, and we went in and had a pizza, and it was the most amazing. I've never tasted a pizza so amazing ever again, and it was just a little shack off the side of the road. Wow. And it was incredible.
So go to Fiji to get good pizza.
But I don't know where it was. It was just we're just driving
authentic
in the
pizza from Fiji.
That's amazing. Oh, I love that. Who's ever had the best food just from a little hole in the wall type shack thing? And it's like, that's often where you get the best things. Amazing. Well, and my name is Caitlin. I'm on the pastoral team and serving a few different teams here. So it's such a joy. I'm going to be hosting the Q&A panel today. My favorite foods I've eaten, I'm not sure if the destination influenced though. It was in Disneyland. Yeah. So that might be influencing how much I enjoyed the taste. But it was a clam chowder soup in a bread roll served in Disneyland. And you just sit there watching the beautiful array of Disneyland around you, eating clam chowder. And it's just wonderful. I've had clam chowder elsewhere and it hasn't been as good. So again, I don't know if that's because the clam chowder is not as good or just eating it at home is different to having it at Disneyland. Amazing. Well, I'm excited for our Q&A panel today. So thank you again, everyone who submitted questions. Let's get real. We're going to get straight in. All right, I'm going to go. We're going to start off. We talked about Pastor Christine's message earlier. So can I go with the question here? Following from Pastor Christine's message, what are some good ways to handle the balance between being content where I am, but also believing and going for more? For example, should I just be content and happy in the job I'm in because it's a job, even though it's not my dream job? Or should I go after a dream job and seek more? Pastor Christine, how about you give us take off that one?
If you know that you are in the will of God and this is a job that God has provided for you for this season, even if it's not your dream job, it should be your current dream.
Yeah.
That just because it's not what you're, you know, eventually wanting, it should still be your current dream.
Yeah.
And I went through many different jobs in my working life, and I, you know, it was probably not till the very end that I actually probably found my dream job. But you can find anything, you can always find good things in any job. It doesn't matter what it is.
So good.
But if you treat it as it's not your dream job, you won't enjoy it.
Yeah.
But if you treat it as a dream on the way to your dream job, then, because there, to be honest, it doesn't matter how wonderful your dream job is, there'll still be negatives in it. But there, it doesn't matter, in a sense, how bad the current job is, there'll still be some positives. So I would say that even if you're not in your dream job, still, as long as you know you're in the will of God and you haven't done something he's told you not to do, then count this as a dream and just continue to say, I'm just going to do my very best in this season to prepare me for the dream job that God's got for me.
Yeah, amazing. Praise God. I love that. I love that. What a great, great answer. All right, we're going to go on for feeling. All right, here's a great question here. I'm fighting feelings of despair and sadness, but I'm simultaneously frustrated at myself because I know I live a very blessed life, so shouldn't be sad. Similar kind of concepts as well, going between them. Do you have any tips? Mark, did you have I'm going to hand over to you.
So just going through experiencing what I've experienced in the past 12 months, having the accident and going through all those feelings of despair, sadness and things like that.
I'm just going to jump in there, Mark. If you don't know, Mark, about 12 months ago, 2 days ago, had a huge accident. You can go online and see the details where a tree crushed his car. He really should have died, but he was left trapped underneath the tree in his car. Supernaturally, Mark is walking in here today. But it's been a huge journey the past 12 months. So
we got about 12 months ago, some of our services would have been, you know, talking about that and the miracle of that.
So go and hear that miracle. So go on, Mark.
Amen. So, finding myself sitting in hospital and at home eventually, wondering why did this happen and going through all this, and suddenly I started thinking, oh, I'm still here. That's a blessing. And I get to see Sam, hit some milestones and celebrate milestones with my wife. And then I started to sort of see the things in my family, like my family church. They came and did a service at home when I couldn't get to church. Oh, what a blessing that is, community. I had neighbours mowing my lawns. And I thought, I'm so grateful. I've got these wonderful people around me blessing me, sowing into my life kindness and love. And then I started to experience peace and joy. And I thought, I remember surfing as a young person, thinking this was everything. And if I couldn't surf, I don't know what life would be without being able to surf. And boy, I was so narrow-minded in my thoughts. And then, reading Proverbs, Philippians 4, it talks about thinking on things that are good and whatever's true, whatever's honourable, worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things and centre your mind on them and implant them in your heart. Yeah. And we had to go to a specialist the other day, and I'm sitting in the waiting room, and there's this painting of a sunset or a sunrise. It was a seascape, and it looked amazing. And I just had this gratitude welling up, and I'm thinking, how many more of these am I going to see? God's created this, and I get to sort of experience it still. I started crying before I was going in to see my specialist, just out of gratitude that I still get to experience life. Wow. And there's so many things that you can look to that you can just have so much thanks for.
Wow, what a beautiful answer. I love that. And I love that really you've been able to provide the real experience there, Mark, of bringing that and just finding things. There are always things in our life to say, well, I'm drawing out the gratitude. I'm drawing out the joy and the gratitude in that. That's amazing. Making a choice. I love that. That's so good. Well, I'm going to speak in a little bit similar in the emotion kind of territory. Kirsty, I'm going to ask you a question. So this person says, I'm battling anxiety, particularly when I have to go into social settings or go to work and be with people. It has really impacted my life and become crippling. I'm a natural introvert as well. So what are some tips to help me in battling that?
Okay, I was thinking about this and I thought, you probably look at me and think, what would she know about that? And you probably all think I'm really outgoing, and but I have actually struggled with this my whole life. We were saying when I first got every job that I've had, but I suppose the most recent was Woolies, I would have to go an hour early and take medication because I wanted to vomit. Like, I would get so nervous that I'd feel like I was going to be sick before parties, before anything. I would have to take something to settle because I used to get so, so really, really nervous about it. And I was saying, and I know I always revert back to this, but when you'd called for the church to do a fast, and I fasted social media, and I thought every time I would go on to scroll, I was going to read my word. And I noticed over the time that the Lord had changed me. Wow. And I came up here without feeling sick. Now, this would have been something for a few days before, just getting really nervous and really anxious and nothing. And I thought, the first time you asked me to come on the panel, I'm like, I don't think so. Mark said, are you right to do the panel? I'm like, yeah. And it's not there. And
Just want to share quickly. Yeah. Kirsty was so relaxed about this, she forgot that she was even coming on.
I said today. Yeah.
I love that. Completely healed. Yeah. Yep.
But even to the point where, I don't know if you know me, I could not get on a train. Like, I was that worked up to the point where I went out with, when Mark has his accident, I got on trains, trams. But the person, one of the people I went through said, now don't be silly about this because they know how I used to act. They know how it used, and I'm like, because it had. But when you called me to that fast, I've not stopped in those few years, and I feel like the word has continually changed me, and it has changed that and taken it away. And it wasn't like, it happened yesterday. It was like, wow, I'm not nervous about that. I'm not anxious. We've had new bosses and I'm like, oh, okay, that's happening. Whereas before it would be, I wouldn't sleep, you know, and things like that. And it is that renewing of your mind. And I was thinking about Brooke when she shared about doing a marathon. And I thought she didn't just wake up one day and thought, oh, I'll run a marathon. Yeah. She started and she built herself up. And I thought, if you're building yourself up in the Word, it's going to change you. Yes, you can't.
Absolutely, amen.
Yeah, it
amen.
Can't not change you. And if Brooke ran every day and did a little bit more and a little bit more and kept going and kept going, she's doing her marathons now. Whereas,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
I think that's amazing. Why don't we give the Lord a hand for what
he's
doing?
Yeah, praise God.
You know, sometimes we see people on the post side of their freedom and liberty and you think, oh, that's how they are. You know, maybe God's given us a little bit of extra boost. But you don't realise sometimes how far people have come and where we've come from. And that's a testimony to his goodness and grace that we can not, you know, just be oblivious to where they were. And I think that's amazing what Kirsty said, that just by filling herself with the Word of God over and over and over, and it eventually it began to change to the point where people don't recognise or don't think you can't understand how you would be, can't even imagine you being like that. We sang a song earlier, Brooke was leading us, and it talked about breaking the yoke, it talks about the anointing, breaking the yoke. You know, if you grew up in a Pentecostal church, and you would have, everyone knew that, the anointing breaks the yoke. What it literally means, anointing talks about oil, talks about the fat.
Yeah.
It actually literally means the fat breaks the yoke. And it talks about a calf or a young cow that they put the yoke around its neck, but then they fed it and fed it and fed it. It got so fat, too fat for the yoke. And the yoke shattered, not by, you know, being hit with an axe or broken with a stick or something like that, but simply because the cow got too big, too fat, too much fatness for the yoke. And it comes from the story of Israel. The Lord says, I'm going to make you so fat, the enemy's yoke will no longer be able to stay on you. I'm going to make you so fat. So there's a health tip for you. But, you know, I think when Paul's word, it talks about the nourishing of the Word.
Yeah.
And so you eat the Word. And so some people, we want something like that. But there is there's a power in just keep feeding on the Word, feeding
Absolutely.
On the Word. And some things which have been on you for years, it eventually it'll just break off you because you're too big.
Wow.
Your spirit, who you are, is too big now.
Amen.
For that.
Amen. Praise God. That's such a great concept. And I love also something else that you said in there, Kirsty. Was it a fast at church that you're talking about?
Yeah, it was one of the ones at the start of the year where, you know, we were fasting for the 3 weeks, I think it was, and it was just, you know, and I felt to give up social media. So every time I would sit, you know, you're at a doctor's office or you're, you know, sitting waiting for the school pickup, anything like that, I would just scroll and I thought, no, and I just started reading my Bible. And then I got to the point where I thought, for this year, I'm not going to read anything but my Bible, like no other book. I wouldn't pick up another book. And, you know, like I'm reading the Bible through cover to cover in 3 months at the moment. I just keep going back. And I'm seeing what more I'm getting out. I'm getting so much more out of it and things that I'm thinking,
amazing.
I've read this, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 times through and I'm like, I've never read this before. You know,
isn't that amazing?
And just God's just opening up so many more things.
That's amazing. And I love that it started with the church fast. And I just felt to encourage you with any of these questions that there is an anointing for your church and for your pastors. And when the Lord gives a direction to your pastors to say, hey, we feel this church is to go on a fast, you know, get amongst it because there's an anointing for you. If this is your home or, you know, if this is where God has you right now, to say, hey, if our pastors have said that, I'm going to get amongst it because there's an anointing for me for breakthroughs in that. So I love that. So good. All right, another question. I'm going to ask Pastor Christine this question. I've had friends/partners dump me in the past as soon as someone better has come along. Now I battle fear for every relationship that it's always about to end, and they will leave me as soon as a better offer comes along. I don't want to project that onto my friends or future partner, but I can't seem to help it. Any advice?
Okay.
What a great question.
I love that question because it's something I think we all go through.
Yeah.
And Actually, just as a disclaimer, it'll probably be funny considering I spoke about phones last week and I'm the one that's using my phone. But it's because I don't have the manual notes, so my notes for the questions are here. But I always go back to Isaiah 54, and it says there, "Do not fear, for your shame is no more. Do not be embarrassed, for you will not be disgraced. You will forget the inadequacy you felt in your youth and will no longer remember the shame of your widowhood." And I remember a preacher many years ago who spoke on that verse, and he said, don't fear the future being a repeat of the past.
Yeah,
and
so
it doesn't matter in what area it is, whether it's in relationships or any area, don't fear the future is going to be a repeat of the past.
Yeah,
because if you do, you can actually project that onto it because of your actions. So if you're talking about relationships, and we've all been there, we've all had people who have left us, or people who we thought would be best friends for years, and then suddenly they turn and they walk away. And if we face new relationships with that fear, we will act either needy or controlling, or, you know, we'll be that, what do you call it, like overly attached girlfriend, you know, and that, yeah, you don't, because you're doing it because it's not who you are, but you're doing it because of a fear of losing.
Yeah.
And that, and so the more that we can realize that it doesn't matter who we are, we're living in a world with other humans who will make mistakes the same as we do. And if somebody treats you bad, or if somebody walks away, if somebody dumps you, or whatever else it is, just, I've always held on to that scripture, don't fear the future being a repeat of the past.
That's so good.
And so then when somebody new comes into my life, that I don't see them through the frame or the lens of that past person. I don't see, you know, that in any way. And it's very hard, particularly if you're not married and you're in a relationship and something bad happens, it can be very easy to look at everybody through that frame of the way you were treated, but you can't, because it's a different person, it's a different time.
And as I
said, our very behavior, if we begin to project that, will affect a relationship. And you know, even as pastors, I remember once when talking to Pastor George Pearson's about this, that people come to your church and they say, this is the best church I've ever been to, I will never leave, I want to do this, I want to do that. You know, 3 years later, they've moved on to another church and telling everybody how horrible you are. And, you know, it's a worse church, don't go there. And that happens, it really happens. And as a pastor, you have to fight that fear that when people come through the door and say, you know, we feel called to join this church, seeing them through the lens of the people who have left, and seeing, and that, and then that can cause you to either not embrace them and hold them at arm's length, because I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to go through that again. I've been through it so many times in my life, and you think, you know, somebody, you know, who may have been your best friend for 20 years, and then suddenly they just up and disappear and leave you, you know, for want, you know, when I say disappear, they didn't get lost.
Yeah.
You know, they suddenly just, you know, moved out of...
How many friends have you had that
Well...
That's a different conversation.
Every time you tell me to do that new garden bed.
Where's Fred?
Taking a dark turn in this Q&A.
But I said, if you have... Yes, I don't kill any of my friends, I promise you. And that, you know, there's no bodies in our backyard. And that, but if you... But genuinely, you know, I've had friends that have been with you for a long time and you can't imagine life without them, and then suddenly, for whatever reason, they choose to go a different direction to you and they move on. But as you do that, you then have to make sure that when new people come, I can do two things. As I said, I can become the overly attached friend, the overly attached girlfriend, or whatever
that's
it
so
is.
True.
I'm married, so...
You can try and do what you think they want you to do.
You can try to be somebody you're not because you want to impress.
Yeah.
Or you can be the other way. You can be standoffish. You can say, like, I'm keeping you at arm's length because I don't trust that you're going to always be here.
So good.
And so it's a balance that you have to get. And to me, the greatest thing for me is that scripture from Isaiah, you know, the narrative that I heard it spoken about. Don't fear the future being a repeat of the past.
Yeah.
So then embrace every new relationship or situation
without
the filter and the baggage of what's behind.
Good.
Yeah, amen.
That's so good. What a great answer. And I want to give, I just feel to give a practical thing as I was feeling as we were preparing these questions. You know, like this is, you know, as Mum said, as many of us would face, this is something a really common, a common thing that many people would face. And I remember there was a time when I had, when it was a long time ago, and there was someone who was, I was very close to, and then suddenly it felt like to me what the enemy told me was as soon as a better option came along, it's like I'm gone because something better is in their horizon, and then I'm dumped because someone better is there or something else better is there for them. And I remember, so, you know, our paths, you know, parted ways, not by my choice, just by, you know, choices they made. And I remember I kept going back on social media and searching their name and looking up all the things that they were doing at that time, because I was just like, and looking at all their new friends and looking at their new life and the better thing that was ahead of them instead of me. And, you know, you think it's harmless. What harm is there? Just looking up. I'm just looking up what they're doing. And I kept doing it, but then I would dream about it. I would have dreams where this person would come in and take current people in my life away from me. Like, I would have nightmares. It was just plaguing my mind. And I remember the Lord really spoke to me, and he said, you need to stop looking them up on social media. You know, maybe, I don't know if anyone else has ever done a social media stalk, but, you know, he's like, you got to stop. He said, you've got to stop. Let them just forgive and let them, you know, live their life and focus on the life you have, because constantly it's not helping you. It's not helping anybody. It's like you're trapped. You're continually trapping yourself in the prison. Like they have no idea. They're off living their life and, you know, having a great life, and I'm trapping myself in a prison. So I don't know if that's a practical thing that resonates with anyone, but maybe, you know, there are times, and actually it was really hard. There were times I'd be so tempted. It was like an addiction. It was so tempting, I literally would have to put my phone down and walk away into another room, because it was like, I am not, never again. I've forgiven, I've released them, and I'm never, ever going to keep looking and using that as a way to torment my soul and my mind. So that might be something practical that somebody needs to do. Maybe you need to put social media down and walk away.
One of the things, if I can add to that,
yeah,
and I've done this with different people, that nobody here in the church, but with past people who have walked out of my life, is I don't generally unfriend people, but I will block them. So all it means is that I don't see any of their posts, and there's nothing, even if I'm on social media for a good purpose, there's no chance that I can accidentally see one of their posts. But I haven't unfriended them because I don't want to show bitterness to them, and people don't know when you unfriend them. So when you, so people know when you unfriend them, they don't know when you block them. And all that is doing is me saying, I'm protecting my environment. Yeah, because of the way you've treated me, what you've done, I'm protecting my environment, yeah, but I'm not acting in bitterness and trying to do something public that will, you know, make you realise. So.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? I'm going to, we just mentioned nightmares and things that can be plaguing you. Here's a great question. I'm going to ask Pastor Peter to answer this one. Any advice as to how to sleep better? I am kept awake often with my mind racing or with nightmares.
I can recommend can I a book this? That you can
yeah,
read
that's
that.
A great book.
Yeah, some people might not realise this.
Yeah.
I've written a book on sleeping better, but the idea came to write this book, it was not in the sense of I was working at the same time on some Bible study books that are very much part of my teaching. And I thought if I release this book, people will get them confused, because this is just a general help book. It's not a Bible teaching book. And so I released it under a pseudonym, all right? So Jean Becksoney is me. All right, if you see it out in the foyer, a little book by Jean Becksoney.
Autographs after
yeah,
service.
So yeah, I initially put a photo. I got AI to help me make a photo, but apparently that's not a really great idea, because there is no one called Jean Becksoney. It is me. You can do a pseudonym, but don't create an ultra person. That gets a bit weird. So anyway, there's a book out there, and the reason it was because I wanted to look in my life better, how to help my sleep patterns. And so I thought, well, if I'm studying it, I might as well, you know, turn it into a book, because I'm doing the research anyway. And so in there, it just looks at a number of things, practical things you can do to help you sleep. And I think the key one for me that I learned is sleep is not the time that you're laying down in bed. It's about your whole life. Oh, here we go.
This is one we prepared
earlier. Overnight Success. I forgot the name of it, actually. Overnight Success by Jean Becksoney. 10 simple steps to sleep like a pro. So it's But what this taught me was that sleep is not what you do through that 7 or 8 hours at night. It's a cycle, a part of your whole life. And you've got to look at everything, you know, from your wake, how you wake up is as important as how you go to sleep. You know, I never would realise that. But, you know, one of the patterns I've tried to do is get, be up when the sun's rising and get the sunlight. And that's actually helping you to go to sleep the next night if you don't, you know what I mean?
Wow.
It's teaching your body day and night. Because sometimes we live in environments where we don't see the outside world very much. It's all artificial lighting. But my, you know, trying to train my body to see the sunrise actually and feel the sunlight actually wakes it up.
Yeah.
Some people say, "Oh no, there's another thing that wakes you up. It's called coffee. You don't need sunlight."
Whoa, we're just going to take a pause on this, Paz. I don't like the direction this seems to be going.
Yeah. But yeah,
coffee with sunrise.
Yeah. So I've got a chapter on there on coffee. And I didn't realise, I drink a lot of tea. I don't drink coffee, so I was like, you know, I can jump on, I can stomp on coffee all I like. It doesn't affect me. But I do have family members that read this book, so I had to be very careful. And but yeah, the whole concept, I look in there what caffeine does, how caffeine works. I didn't understand that. So so sometimes it can be as simple as, like, you're talking about nightmares.
Yeah.
You say, well, to me, I was like, I was drinking green tea. I didn't realise green tea had a lot of caffeine in it, more than I realised. And so I was stimulating my body, telling it not to go into sleep mode.
Yeah.
And that's all it does. The little molecules in there, the molecules that are in caffeine look very much like the molecule that tells your body to prepare for sleep.
Yeah.
So your body starts to release these molecules during the afternoon to prepare you, and caffeine comes along and it says, oh, and it jumps in place, and instead of getting the signal to start going to sleep, it gets a caffeine molecule, keeps it awake, all right? So the body is being fooled not to go into sleep mode. And so you can do that. And then your body's not ready for sleep, and so your mind's still racing. So it's something as simple as that. Sometimes you have nightmares. It can be because you've overstimulated your mind. You know, like phones. You know, I had this amazing preacher last week. You know, really, convicted me that I must tell my family what to do. No, I've changed my. You know, I was last thing at night phone, first thing in the morning phone. So I even had to put it in a different room. Do you know what I mean? I don't charge. From this week, I've stopped charging. My problem, I realised my alarm was on my phone, so I had to buy a cheap alarm to put in my room. So because the first thing in the morning, just the temptation, and then you see some, oh, what's been happening overseas? What's been happening here? And you just sort of get drawn in. But the phone can stimulate. So yes, there's some simple things there that you can do to quiet and settle your spirit. And prepare yourself. And sometimes, now I know it's not like, oh, it'll fix everything because it's multiple things, but sometimes it's just as simple as doing a peaceful entry into the night and making sure the things that your mind is working on, you know, it's very hard, like I said, to be scrolling Facebook and seeing what they're doing, and then all of a sudden you find your dreams are agitated versions, and you say, oh, you know, for you it's like, I can make the connection. Sometimes you just got to try and work out what those connections are. If you're not sure of all the things you can be doing, you know, from, you know, what sheets to buy to, you know, how to prepare your room and things like that, there's a book.
Amazing. Oh, that's so good. We're going to do just a few more. I'm aware of time. A few more. Mark, I'm going to ask you a question. This person said, I've had many friends battling with depression and mental health and some who have attempted or seriously considered suicide. How can I best support them as a friend in these moments?
I've had friends like that too, and Christian and non-Christian.
Yeah.
The best thing I've found is to be there for them. We have an open door policy at our house with those friends. Or any of you, really. Anybody's welcome. And it's amazing. They come to you with a need, they come to you in despair, and it's always at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be the time where we're struggling too, and we think, oh, no, we're going to minister peace into these people. And
yeah.
we, it's amazing. God gives you, like, what's that scripture? He lifts you up on wings of eagles. So
yeah.
you're thinking, I've got nothing to give. And then suddenly God pours into you because you're willing. You've got
yeah,
this
that's so
obedience.
Good.
And you think, nah, this person needs some
yeah.
positive things spoken into him. And sometimes it's just reminding them of the things that, like gratitude, like the things that they should be thankful for, or, you know, we all should be thankful for.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's just practical advice, like God guides you through it. Like there's no one answer to this, but
yeah.
Sometimes God just says, oh, you need to speak. They're thinking on things that they shouldn't be thinking on. And, you know, your mind's like, it's full of goat tracks. And sometimes you've got these goat tracks that you go down continually in your mind, and they're wrong ones. And God says you need to tell them they need to put a barricade in that goat track. Like they keep going down this goat track, and they need something that will signal them. And every time they go down that wrong path, there's something there that signals them, and they go, no, that's a blockage. I'm gonna, God is love. I'm gonna think on, you know, God is love. I'm just gonna think on that.
That's like, so good.
And sometimes it's just, I do a daily faith boost, and sometimes it's just, okay, today I'm just going to put one scripture in my mind, and it might be God is love, and I'm going to think on that all day today.
Yeah, amen.
And every time that wrong thought comes in, no, God is love. I'm going to think on that today. And just train your mind to every time one of those negative thought paths come up, no, that's a key to think on a scripture, like, or a positive thing if you're not a Christian. We're talking to Christians.
Yeah, amen, amen. I love that. What a great answer. Just being there as well, you know, making the time.
Can I just add that? Because it's a very, I don't know, I don't want a show of hands, but how many people here have had someone who sort of showed signs that, you know, maybe they're suicidal or even said that? And it's very confronting.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you don't know what to do. And sometimes you feel you're out of your pay grade, and and lean on to others. Feel free to get advice. Don't feel as if you have to handle anything alone. Yeah. That's one of the things. Don't always think I have. Don't make yourself the difference between their choices. Get others involved. You know, this word there. I don't know why. I just feel to say this. Never ever commit to confidentiality that
so
traps
good.
You.
So good.
Okay. Yeah. I never ever, as a pastor, commit to saying, I will keep this confidential. I say, you have to trust me with it.
Yeah.
And if I feel I need to go to help, I've got to have that freedom.
Yeah, that's
because
really
I am not going to lay there in 3 months' time, racked with guilt, that I've sat on something and I didn't do anything or say anything or go anywhere. So if someone shares something with you, and I've actually said to people, before you say something, just be realised you are trusting me, and you've got to trust that I will do the right thing with it.
Yeah.
You can't. You can't say you can't. If someone starts a sentence, you can't tell anyone this, but I stop them and say, you've got to trust me. If I feel I need to go to someone, I will.
Yeah.
All right.
That's so
good. Don't. I never. Because you know that can lock you in, and then you feel you're trapped. So get help. And the other thing I heard this bit of advice: if you're with someone. Always encourage them. There's one more thing they can do.
Yeah.
Just always say there is one more thing. Don't ever get to the point where there's nothing. That they've tried everything. No, there's something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, always tell them there is hope. There is something. Don't ever get to the point where you say there's nothing, because that's where they feel the most hopeless.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So good. All right. To finish, we're going to do a couple of quick fire ones. Pastor Christine, this person said, I really battle the fear of missing out. And I think it's something we can all really relate to, or many of us can, particularly missing out on things God has for me. If I turn off social media or take a break from my phone, I'm terrified I'm going to miss something important that was God had for part of my future. Any suggestions?
Trust the Holy Spirit. And that's what we've lived by. And we... like that before social media, God was able to get words out, so were people. There was life before social media, but even before smartphones or anything like that. But basically it comes down to the fact that if you're trusting God to lead and guide you, and just a super quick testimony that proves it, when the Lord had put Brooke, because of situations she was walking through a few years ago, he encouraged her to go on a fast from her phone and social media. And during that time, and that I remember one particular morning the Lord spoke to me, and I think it was several weeks she'd been on it, and he spoke to me, he said, go on Facebook now, which is unusual for God to say, but he did. And I went on and I saw a course that was being run by a Christian actor who most of you now will know, Chris Palaha, and that in Los Angeles he was running. And I knew straight away that God wanted Brooke to be part of that course. So I spoke to her, and that I showed her. She was so excited. We applied. She got in. The rest is history. As most of you know, he's become her mentor and has worked with her now for the last 4 years. God knew that was there. Was obeying the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and God are not confined to social media, to phone calls, to anything else. And that God will get the word to you if he wants to. And that we proved it, and Brooke has proved it, and that gives you the confidence that when you are not on these devices, or when you're taking a break, or when things like that, don't fear missing out, because God will always have a way. He's the way maker,
so good.
As
Amen.
We said this morning.
Yeah. Amen.
I think that was like what Kirsty, she went on a fast, and over time she began to learn new skills and get new things, and sometimes these things, they give us fear. We live in an age where we have instant connection, and that's good, but it's also unhealthy at times, but we've got that. So you need to train yourself sometimes to do that. I remember when I was younger, I broke my watch, and I couldn't tell what the time of the day was, because it was like I didn't my watch didn't have phones back then, and it took me about 3 months to get it fixed, but by the end of the third month, I had my inner ability to know roughly what time of the day it was had returned.
Yeah.
But as long as I was wearing my watch, I lost that ability to sense the time of the day. I didn't realize it, and I didn't know that I had lost it until I didn't have my phone. But it took about 3-4 months before I suddenly just had an inner awareness.
Yeah.
Sometimes our phone blocks us from those inner awareness and alertness to things. But it won't take, you can't just do this for a week. It sometimes can take, a month or even a year to restore some of these things. So that is healthy.
Yeah, so good. All right, just a couple more and then we're going to finish up. Kirsty, can I ask, this person said, I can battle feeling jealous of other people. I don't want to be jealous, but I struggle with it. This is like real help. It's like, hey, you know what? This is actually something that many people would battle with. Any advice on how not to be jealous?
I was thinking a lot of Christine's word last week as well, as we look on Facebook a lot, and I think that's become a thing of looking at a snapshot at people's lives. And a really good example happened just recently. I went on, because obviously with everything that's going on with us, we wouldn't go away anyway, but they'd gone to the snow, and that's something that we wanted to take Sam again. We'd taken him when he was very little, and I'm like, you just get that little bit. Anyway, I dropped in to see her a week after it, and so that she'd put up these beautiful photographs, and dropped in and she said, that was the worst holiday I've ever been on. She said the food, they went out to a restaurant for dinner, tried to have a nice meal. They lost their order. They were there for hours and they walked out. The kids are all screaming, crying. She's making them sandwiches when they got back. And then she said the next day she went out, she slipped on the stairs and hurt all her back. And her husband's like, you're fine. She's feeling like she's done some damage. He's like, you're all right. No sympathy. They went out again. Same thing, kind of thing happened with the meal. It went really bad. And she goes, I spent the night in the shower trying to get hot water on it, bawling my eyes out. And I thought, I've looked at this snapshot thinking, what a wonderful they're just living the dream. They're living the life. And, you go and speak to her and the husband said, oh, I'll never do that again. Never, ever. What a biggest waste of money. And I thought, we do get that snapshot, as Christine was sharing. And whereas you think, we look at all the time that we have together, and there was another family, every year they go away, and I kind of felt, because we used to go to Queensland quite a bit, and but when I talk to the mum, she's really sad because the husband's always working. So their snapshot of that holiday is the only time they really have together, and I thought, We get each other, well, especially at the moment, 24/7, 7 days a week since the accident. And Sam said, this is the best part of the accident, is I get to see you. Sam would get sad if he missed his dad in the morning to go to work and things like that. So I think that attitude of gratitude as well, of looking at what you have and always what you say about making special moments. Yeah. Like we went to a doctor's appointment the other day, and I mean, it wasn't the news we wanted, but we went and celebrated and went and got lunch and sat down the pier and just made a special moment out of it. And I thought that was, we didn't have to put it on social media, but we had that moment.
Being present, isn't it? Like we're being present, being in the moments, and making them into moments too. Yeah.
Always making fun things out of, you know, just a family dinner, sit at the table, have a chat, play a board game, you know, make those moments together as well, and stop. You don't need to worry about what other people are doing, because as you say, when you went on your walk, you said if you could see the other photos.
Yeah, that was for my sermon earlier this August. Yeah. Absolutely, I love that, being present. And, you know, one of our events team was saying, you know, as Mum spoke about, comparison is the thief of joy. Jealousy, you know, I think in comparison go hand in hand with that. And you know what, a great tip is when you're beginning to feel upset or jealous of somebody, a really good thing is to do is to pray for them. And that, like for me, that's the biggest thing to kick out a spirit of offence or jealousy at someone, is I start genuinely praying good things for them, you know, not praying an Old Testament prayer over them, praying.
That slip down the ice wasn't a prayer.
Yeah, but genuinely, if you're feeling jealous, start blessing them and start out loud saying, Lord, I bless them, Lord. And then as you start praying, you feel your heart changing. You feel that you start genuinely meaning what you're saying. Lord, I bless their family. I pray they have a wonderful holiday. Lord, give them favor in this holiday. You know, whatever it is that you might be feeling jealous of, because prayer can cut that spirit out. And then you find by the end of the prayer, I want to know what great things happen to them, because I genuinely mean it. I genuinely want good things for them. So that's a great thing. Awesome. Well, thank you very much, panel. Thank you. Just before we finish as well, I just want to add in, and then we're going to give a hand and then pray. One of the questions that came in is fear of war and threats. How can I not be in fear when the world is full of threats? Of war and terrorism, and Mark preached a great sermon this month on fear. Something that we as a team had talked about is that, again, talking about phones, that's come back a lot. Be careful now, algorithms. I don't understand algorithms. I don't know if anyone fully understands how, you know, but there are many people here who understand a lot more about how algorithms work, and basically in your phone, how it's specific to you now. It's not like a newspaper where we all saw the same newspaper. Now what you get on your phone is completely individual to you and specific to you, and every search and everything you say and every time you say something, it's telling the phone what to show you. And what to tell you. But what that gives is a really unbalanced view of the world. Not that newspapers were fully balanced, but, you know, rather than like a newspaper that meant you got a snapshot of everything, you have the entertainment section, you have this section, that section. Now it's like whatever your phone says you think interests you, that's all you might see. And that can be really unhealthy, because you get a really unbalanced view of the world. And I remember a few months ago, something came up on my phone and it was like a suggested story, and I clicked on it, and it was a really tragic story about a young married couple, and when one of them had passed away in tragic circumstances. I knew nothing about the couple, and I don't know why it came on it, but I clicked on it. That was my mistake. It took me like 3 months to get my algorithms to stop thinking that all I wanted to see was tragic stories of young couples where somebody had passed away as a young couple, in a young couple. But literally it would fill, and then I would click on a story, and before I knew it, oh, it's this again. And I'm not, you know, I feel very much for the stories and the people, but what I started doing was creating a huge fear in me. You know, feeling, you know, youngish married couple, it was like creating this fear in me, because I was getting a completely unbalanced view. According to my news feed, 95% of young married couples ended this way, because that was all I was getting, and it would creeping into my mind and into my spirit. So even just being aware of that, that in the world we have, we get really unbalanced views of things. And even now there's fake news, so you have no idea what's AI, what's not, you know, what's new. Like now it's really hard to tell what's real or not. But if you're finding that there's a particular fear that is really gripping you, if it's a fear of something happening and it's really particular, I would encourage you to start just being aware if you're getting a really funneled view of that thing as well. If you're afraid of terrorism, so you're reading up on everything to do with terrorism, everything in your life will be feeding that to you. And it's not unhealthy. I'm not saying you put blinkers on and pretend like nothing's happening in the world. It's okay, you know, in faith to read that, but just be really careful that unintentionally you're not getting a really funneled, unbalanced view, because that will be feeding a fear. Anything that anyone wanted to add in on that?
Yeah, I've heard it said that if you don't read a newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read a newspaper, you're misinformed.
That's really good. That's the perfect quote of the day. Just being aware of that and then bringing that fear before the Lord for that. Well, can we thank our panel today? There are so many questions we didn't get to, but we've had such rich answers. And so we want to pray. We want to pray for every person, for every person that's here, for every person online, and this series of real help that, you know, ultimately we want to leave you feeling encouraged that we've got a real God who cares about the real things in your life, that you don't need to be fake to God. You don't need to come to the altar with a mask on. You can come just as you are. There is no sin. There is no mistake. There is no shame that is too much for God to handle. There is no family problem that is too much for God to handle. There is no addiction that is too much for God to handle. You know, we're going to finish, but the Holy Spirit said there was a question on addiction. Pastor Peter or Christine, did one of you want to share that story and that testimony of the lady in our church years ago who was smoking and I believe that there might be someone right now listening who's suffering from an addiction, whatever it might be.
We had a lady in our church many years ago, and she was a close friend of mine, and she had an addiction to smoking. And she had tried and tried for many years. She tried everything that was given to her, how to give it up, and she just couldn't do it. And then we gave her a message to listen to Keith Moore's, which is Calling Things and Not As Though They Are. And he was talking about it, that he said when people are battling addictions or things like that, he said, even if you're still doing it, every time you do it, confess that you don't want to. Now, that may sound silly, but he said, every time you light up a cigarette, say, I have no desire for this cigarette. And he said, you may still smoke it, but that's okay. Continue to say it, because he said, your spirit is hearing those words. And she continued to do that, and I don't know how long it was, but it was not very long. Because when I gave it to her, she thought, that's stupid. But I said, will you at least try it? So she did, and every time she'd light up a cigarette, she'd say, I have no desire for this. And it was only a matter of a few weeks. It wasn't a long time. And she said, suddenly she lit up the cigarette. She said, I have no desire for this. And she looked down and she said, I have no desire for this. Threw it in the bin, threw away all her cigarettes, and has never smoked again.
Yeah, praise God. So I just felt like somebody, maybe it's to tell a friend or maybe it's for you, whatever the addiction might be, you know, that might be the answer for you that God had. We also had Jocelyn just put in a quote here. She said, it would depend on, if we depend on people, we will be disappointed at some point. That is so true. So I remind myself to only put my trust in the Lord. I've been hurt by people I cared about, but I've also failed friends myself as well. Isn't that so true? Because we're people, and this is a fallen world. So that means that, you know, you'll make mistakes. People will make mistakes too. But ultimately, if we put our trust in the Lord, we will, he's the only one who will never let you down. So we want to leave you feeling encouraged. So whatever your real thing is that you're working through, we have a real God who cares, and he has the answer for that. He has the freedom for that. There is nothing too big. There is nothing too far. There is nothing too, that's too ungodly. I can't ever bring that before his throne. If you come in a hungry heart before the Lord, ready to receive from him, he is ready to bring cleansing and freedom and wholeness and and release in the name of Jesus to whatever it is in your life. So we're going to pray, and I want to encourage you. There's been some great answers today. Walk away and say, what was the one thing that really stuck to me today? And really take that with you this week. So Lord, I just bless your people. Lord, I thank you, God, for every person here, for every person joining online. Lord, maybe there are people here in their whole life, they've grown up in church and they've been walking with you. Maybe for some people, this might be their very first time, Lord, in church or joining online. God, and the same truth is there for every one of us. Lord, whether we're somewhere in between, Lord, this truth is there for each of us today. Lord, and I thank you, God, that you are a real God who cares about the real things in our life. Lord, no need, Lord, is too big. Lord, no issue is too big. Nothing is too far from you for you to care and for your love to be there, ready to meet it in the name of Jesus. Lord, so I thank you, God, that each of us, we bring these real things. Lord, whatever the issues, the addictions, the hurts, the struggles, we bring it to your altar. We bring it to your throne and we lay it down at you and we say, Lord, we ask for your cleansing. We ask for your healing. Where people have been hurt, Lord, I thank you, God, that there is healing there in the name of Jesus. Lord, where people, Lord, have had people walk out on them. Lord, fathers or mothers, Lord, might have walked out on them, God, and then they're going to come to you and you are going to bring them the love and the healing and the freedom for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, where there's addictions, Lord, we speak freedom in the name of Jesus. Lord, where there is hurt, we speak, Lord, love and comfort, Lord, and healing in Jesus' name. Lord, I just thank you, God, where there is fear, Lord, we speak your love, that your perfect love that casts out all fear. We thank you, your love is filling hearts and minds right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you, God, that we bring everything to you, and we thank you, we receive your love, your cleansing, and your healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, church family. We invite you, if you're in the room, to stay with us. We're going to have a great time of family picnic straight after church. We're going to have it in the foyer because Melbourne's weather was Melbourne's weather, and it turned on us. So we're going to have a great time here. We've got a lot of games. We've got a fun time. We're really excited to come and stay for a picnic. If you haven't got lunch, you can quickly, there's a lot of shops just 5 minutes away. Pop up, grab some food, and come back. We're going to be here for the next couple of hours enjoying time together. But otherwise, be blessed. We're going to have a great week. Check the email out tomorrow or check our Breakthrough Socials or website for all the things that are coming out this week. But be blessed, church family. Have a great week.